Last Sunday was designated as Welcome Back Sunday here at St. James Mill Creek. Schools were back in session and most people had returned from their summer vacations and trips. And so we took the time to intentionally say welcome back to people that we know by name, or at least by sight. My sermon, however, was about something else. Those of you that were here, can you give me a one-word description of what my sermon was about last week? Oh, great. I'm glad some of you remember. Shout it out. What was it?
Invite.
Invite. Yes, to invite. None of us could have been welcomed back last week or whenever weeks that we come here if we hadn't first been invited. Invited to come, invited to attend this church at some time in the past. Now, the invitations might have been a variety of ways. That might have been that actually you came as a child. Actually, maybe you were carried into the church as an infant, but that was your invitation to the community of God. Or perhaps you had a spouse, or perhaps a friend, a neighbor, someone invited you. Or maybe you just showed up on your own. Although I never believe people actually just show up on their own, because I think that God is somehow stirring within them. So God has given them a direct invitation. But the whole point is, right? You've come here because you've been invited. It's through other people and a personal relationship with Jesus Christ that once we come here, we are invited to know something about God. We're invited to bring our hopes and our dreams, our joys, our sorrows, our thanksgivings, our regrets. We bring them all and we lay them down at the foot of the cross. We lay them down so that God can raise us up. That God can raise us up in acceptance and forgiveness and love and comfort. And having once shown up, this relationship with God is not meant to be kept to ourselves. Christians are called to reach out to others so that others might also know the love of God. Jesus told us to go forth into the world, and all the world, he said, as our witnesses. And witnesses are meant to tell others what they know. And if we have encountered anything holy, anything sacred here at St. James, then why not tell others and invite them to come and see for themselves? And so I spent, as part of my sermon last week, and I said, you know, we could all do this, right? We could all invite somebody. So I want to see, is there a show of hands? How many people invited somebody to come this week? I realize your shoulders are probably sore and you can't get your arms up. There's one up there. Gail did. Well, I'm not saying that to make any of us feel badly, because the thing is, the great thing is, it's not a one-off time, not a one-off opportunity. We have an opportunity every week, every month, every year to perhaps invite someone to come and see. And the other thing is, this isn't the last time you're going to hear about it from me. Because this fall and beyond, we're going to be looking at some ways that we might intentionally extend this invitation to others to come and to know something about the living God through Jesus Christ. Why keep it to ourselves? But for today, I'd like to follow up on the topic of welcome. Even though last Sunday was Welcome Back Sunday, but last week was intentionally focused on welcoming people that we already know, right? There's a sense of we're getting together with people who are familiar to us, people with whom we've shared experiences of worship or or of personal stories of hardships, or maybe we've shared ministries within the church, or maybe we've gone out to breakfast or lunch or whatever. We have some level of friendship or acquaintance with the folks with whom we gather with. And we feel a part of the congregation. A lot of people have said to me, when I come here, I feel like I'm coming home, so to speak. If you've been away for a while, or if you come every week, you come because it just feels like the place to be. And with this familiar relationship that we all have comes the knowledge of several things. Generally, we know who the leaders are within the church, or who are the go-to persons for certain ministries or prayers or bringing a suggestion or complaint to the vestry. We might even know what the vestry is. You all know what the vestry is? Okay, you don't have to know to be here, but you've heard the word, right? You've also heard the word Episcopal and Eucharist. Do you know what those words mean? Uh-oh. Well, if you don't, you could ask me at the door, because if somebody came, you invited somebody and they came in and they said, I've heard of these other churches Episcopal. What the heck's Episcopal? What does that mean? What's this Eucharist stuff you're talking about? We need to know what we're saying to other people. But it's familiar to us, so we don't even think about it, right? It feels good. In any event, we can all find our way. You know, we know enough. We may not know all these fancy words. Anyone know narthex? Any old-timers know what the narthex is? Well, in this church, it's sort of the closet that you walk through. It's basically your entryway of a church. The thing is, even if we don't know all of those fancy words, we at least we can find our way around the service bulletin, around the infamous lavender insert, the Book of Common Prayer, and the hymnal, right? And we have a sense of knowing that we belong. And it's easy to have a sense of belonging when you know how things operate and who's in charge of things. Of course, who is really in charge of things around here? Not you, Katie. No, I saw you pointing yourself. Who's really in charge? Think big. God is in charge. Very good. Not us. This is God's house. It's on loan to us. Sometimes we let our egos get the better of us. We begin to act as if we have some sort of special place in the life of this congregation. We're all special to God, but sometimes we think we have a special place. We have a level of status based on the length of time that we've been here, or how many volunteer hours we've given to one or more ministries. And we're in danger of forgetting that following Jesus is really what it's all about. And we shouldn't feel badly about ourselves, because we're not alone in this and how we sometimes get things out of whack. The disciples of Jesus, we hear in the gospel this morning, they had argued with each other. Here they were traveling around with Jesus. Jesus had just shared with them that he is going to have to suffer and die. And what are they doing? They're arguing which one of them is the greatest. What's my standing in this ministry, Jesus? They're arguing perhaps who should be in charge, or who should be afforded the greater honor, due to the amount of their efforts or their personal piety or the level of their contributions. It became about them and not about God. And so in today's gospel, Jesus takes them and us down a few notches. He does this by taking a child and placing him or her right in the middle of this assembled group of self-important people. And it says that Jesus says he took him in his arms. This is, he didn't just sort of plop this child there. Jesus held this child close. and ignoring the adage that children should be seen and not heard, Jesus said, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me." It's not the only time Jesus said something about welcoming others in his name. Did not Jesus say that when you feed the hungry, or give drink to the thirsty, or clothe the naked, that we are doing it for him? That in those people, Christ himself is present? You know, and it was easy for the disciples to overlook a child, just as it's common that when adults get together, we often ignore what a young person has to say. The impulse is not to value what they have to offer merely because of their age. Or we say, well, you haven't been hanging around here long enough, or one thing or another. And God bless one of the young adults in this parish this morning who spoke to me and said that she spoke up recently at a diocesan gathering and said, "You aren't listening to us young folks. You've got people who are arranging meetings that we can't get to, and yet you want us to be involved." I was so happy she did that. Because it's a huge mistake if we deny the place of young people, children, infants, whoever, if we deny them a place in the family of God. Because worthiness is not earned by how many years we've lived or anything else. Our worthiness is inherently present in each person, having been created in God's own image. Whether we are old or young, poor or rich, socially adept or awkwardly inclined, we are all God's beloved children, and we are all merely here for a time. And God has bestowed on each one of us something that we might offer back to God for the common good. How we live together, and especially how we welcome others into God's house, speaks volumes about our baptismal promise to seek and serve Christ in all persons. For those of us who come to St. James and have found a sense of connection here, we might want to begin to ask ourselves some questions. What do we do or fail to do to welcome persons who are not a part of our congregation? I'm sure we would all say we're friendly. But what does that mean? That we just acknowledge and say hi? Are we truly open to not only saying hello and welcoming those who are either invited or find their own way here, but are we willing to take the time to be attentive, to listen to their story, to listen perhaps to their needs, their desires, to see if they're like our desire, to find love and peace within the holiness of God? And here's one more thing that might be the most difficult. Are there things we should seek to change about our worship, our ministries, our routines that would make coming to St. James more accessible and inclusive and welcoming? We are so used to the way we do things that we often are blind to things that make it difficult for others to come in and feel as welcome as we feel. To invite and to welcome are imperatives of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And sometimes the gospel can make us uncomfortable. It certainly always challenges us in areas in which our comfortable way of doing things might stand in the way of spreading the good news to others. I announced sort of last week, although I have written about this, that over the past several months, the clergy and the bishop of the Episcopal churches in Delaware have committed themselves to exploring these issues more deeply. We've met a number of times as clergy, most recently just this past Thursday, to explore these issues, not as a means of being a program, say, for church growth. Programs don't convert people. Programs don't spread the word of God. People do, by how they share from their lives. How I can walk faithfully as a follower of Jesus Christ. And in the name of God, how we might invite all of God's children to join us on this journey. And it's not enough just to invite and to welcome others, however. The final piece is to be open, to be fully inclusive, and to connect them into the life of the parish, to make room for them to come in and offer their gifts. Not for us to say, thank you very much, come back in a couple of years, and we'll let you get involved in a committee, or we'll listen to your ideas. To connect people into the life of the parish, for us to be attentive to what they might offer to us. And on this whole issue of connecting, I will have more to say next week. But until then, let us pray. Pray that the Holy Spirit may lead us all to live more faithfully, more boldly, for the sake of the kingdom of God. I've spoken these words to you this day in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.